Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Did put in a merit. I do a sliding scale merit, 5%, 3%, 2% as you go up in salary range. However, I do not do across the board merits. Any money that is set aside for merits and approved in this budget, if not used, it is returned to the county because I do not do across the board merits.
Pam Childers, the Escambia County Comptroller and the clerk of the court, talking during the budget meeting at the Escambia County Commission about how she doesn't give across the board merit raises, which makes sense. I mean, if you gave across the board merit raises, you'd be giving everybody a merit raise, and sort of by definition, unless you did really awesome hiring. Not everybody deserves a merit raise, right? I mean, you know, we give cost of living raises, and that's regardless of merit. That's just to kind of keep up so you don't lose ground when you're trying to, you know, buy milk for the kids or whatever. But, you know, merit is specifically designed around you did well, and she doesn't give across the board because it's kind of came up in the conversation. I'm pretty sure I had to kind of digging my memory a little bit, but in Santa Rosa, I do believe they have a similar kind of system where it's, you know, like a couple of percent, a half percent, whatever, you know, there's a varying scales for merit. And then some people don't get any at all. They, you know, they didn't deserve it.
Are you the only a constitutional officer that does merit-based pay raises?
That's a great question. Mike Kohler asks, you know, is anybody else doing these? And I didn't know the answer to it, and she didn't either.
I've heard a conversation through the years. I think some do it. Constitutionals have changed in the last couple of years, so I don't know. I am a proponent because what happens to me, like you, I have service-based positions. And those positions, it's kind of like a bank teller. Bank teller, let's say bank teller position is at $40,000. Just because you keep doing that $40,000 job and you sit in that seat for 15 years doesn't mean it should be a $65,000 job when the market didn't increase. That's why I do a merit system.
Oh, hallelujah, lady. That's so accurate. If you do, you know, somebody's in a job that's very standard. I won't say boring and repetitive, but you know what I mean, right? Jobs that you're kind of doing the same thing over and over again. Okay, there reaches a point in some jobs where you have learned the job. You have mastered the job. And if you keep doing that job, you don't get better. You just get longer. And as one person, I don't remember who originally said this to me, but I thought it was such a great way of putting it. It says that, you know, sometimes 40 years of experience, or let's say 20 years of experience is 20 years of experience. Sometimes 20 years of experience is 1 year repeated 20 times. And if you have 1 year repeated 20 times, that doesn't justify you continually getting more and more money. This is, in my mind, this is always the argument about time versus accomplishments. When you're thinking about, for example, you know, the conversation around unions, you know, which tend to reward people simply for being around a long time. Well, being around a long time is a very poor, it's a rough, but very poor indicator of how good the performance is. A better indicator of how good the performance is you know, how good the performance is. So just because somebody has been there 10 years doesn't mean they should make more than the person who's been there for 5 years. I mean, it could really be the case. I'll pick on the sheriff's office for an example, okay? You would think that every day the sheriff's deputies are out there doing their thing, right? They're doing more all the time, okay? That's a case where you're probably doing a lot of different things all the time, and probably over time. It's actually one of the best examples of, you know, same thing for doctors, EMS. You know, there's certain occupations where you're doing a lot of things all the time, and the more you do them, the better you get at them, period, okay? But you can also imagine a case where a deputy is worse today at his job than he was 5 years ago. Whether because of his attitude or because he's physically not as able to run fast and catch bad people. You know, maybe his eyesight's not so good anymore. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons, right? Well, should you pay him more just because he's been there longer? Well, he's older, he's got more needs, he's got more, but that's not the point. The point isn't what the employee wants or what the employee's family needs. The point is, what performance are they producing, right? And that should really be the criteria. And in fact, I have long always been an advocate for, you know, give me a performance that I can achieve and reward me for performing. I don't happen to work in that environment right now. I mean, you know, I get paid for showing up and doing the job, and they like me. But, you know, if I work 5 extra hours in the week and the show is 20% better that week, same money. You know, but I would love to be able to get paid more for outperforming. Those models always produce better results. So, again, back to Pam Childers saying that, you know, she has a system where she rewards people based on merit, what they actually show, and not everybody qualifies for it. And, you know, Mike Kohler asking the question of, well, you know, does anybody else as a constitutional officer do it this way? By the way, constitutional officer is, I know a lot of you know this, and if you don't, I'm just pausing to explain, is a elected official who is created by the Florida Constitution. So, for example, the you know, the clerk of the court or the sheriff or the tax collector or the tax appraiser or the, you know, county commissioners, constitutional officers. Okay, that's all that means. It's just a fancy term for something that the Constitution makes. So, but it's a term that sometimes people use, and you know, maybe nobody explains it. So I was actually surprised by the person who followed up on this conversation. Who would the, just philosophically speaking, politically speaking, who would be the least likely of the 5 county commissioners to seem interested in a merit pay system? Well, the Democrat. The one Democrat, Lou May. Because Democrats, typically more aligned with unions, less aligned with performance, more aligned with need, you know, is more the way they think about things. And Lumen certainly is frequently talking about how we need to pay people more and we need to give them more based on their need. But he was the one who said, oh, tell me more.
What would, and I like that idea, Pam, that you're doing merit. What would prohibit us from doing a merit base? I mean, as a county or making an overall system?
That's a question for Wes, isn't it?
Yeah. Some of our challenges is the unions and have to negotiate with the unions.
You think?
We have had a merit system years ago in the past where you could get up to 5% or 4% or 3%, depending on what it was, how your evaluation played out. Part of our challenge is with our 4 unions that we have to negotiate with.
So A, of course, the unions are not on board with this. But B, they should be. You know, the argument for unions has always been, and again, maybe you don't think about things this way, but the argument for the unions has always been, we produce a better quality labor product because we have quality controls. We make sure that only good, capable people are part of the union. You know, the pipe fitter's union is better than Joe the pipe fitter. Yeah, you know, that's the idea. The plumbers union is going to keep bad plumbers out. And so, you know, Mickey, the plumber, that couldn't get in the union, you shouldn't hire him to fix your pipes because he's not a union member. The argument for unions, I mean, the argument unions make to their members is collective bargaining. And if you, you know, united you stand, divided, you know, divided you beg, you know, that kind of thing. Power. But if you were in a rational situation, the argument for a union is they're like trade guilds. They make sure that their members are skilled and capable and motivated and produce a great product, and they should be able to demonstrate that, especially in the modern era. You know, 100 years ago, the argument for unions might have been different, but today, the argument for unions should be, we're better. And if unions are better, then they should be able to demonstrate that through performance, and they should not be opposed to merit pay. They should love merit pay. Because especially in a situation where you might have a mixed shop where some are union, some are not, the union members should be the first ones to say, I mean, yes, please pay us based on performance because we're going to outperform the non-union members and that'll just help us recruit better. Anyway, it's also how can unions be valuable, right? They could train their members. They could certify their members. They could put them through training. They could do all that kind of stuff. Okay, but yes, the unions, unfortunately, are not typically in that position. The unions are typically in the position of, well, Bob's been here 12 years, so he makes more than Jimmy, who's been here for 4 years, which is, again, very rough but inaccurate measure of competence and productivity. then they kind of followed this along, and Steve Stroberger kind of mixed things together and said, well, can we do merit bonuses instead of merit raises? Cause, you know, a raise is recurring, right? If you give somebody a merit raise, you're saying they're going to be good like this forever, which is a terrible premise, but it unfortunately is the only premise available for people who work for the city or the county. And he asked, well, can we not just give people a, like, hey, you were excellent this year, here's $2,000?
Would anything prevent us from doing a merit-based bonus? And we can still do the raises, but...
Which, by the way, a merit-based bonus is, in my opinion, a much better system than a merit-based raise. Because, again, maybe you did... You outperformed yourself this year. What does that mean? You should get paid the same bonus next year? If you perform, sure. If not, well, then, you know, not, right? So merit bonuses are actually the better way to do things rather than a merit raise. But he asked this question, and...
Madam Attorney, it looks like you want to say something.
We are not allowed by state statute to do bonuses or that which resembles a bonus for work already performed. That is not legitimate for public employees under state law.
Oh.
Now, merit-based raises are certainly legal under state law. The practical implications of implementing it, we could talk through if it's really a board direction, but please, no bonuses. Bad news.
Allison doesn't talk a lot, and when she does talk, she's very measured. So for her to say that is pretty clear. No, you can't do that. But isn't that annoying? John, you're a conservative and an accountant.
You're right.
Okay? So from your point of view, I'm sure you're tracking everything I'm saying, that, you know, merit-based bonuses are a great way to reward good employees and to properly compensate, you know, and incentivize them,
right?
All of the things, right?
Correct.
And what we discovered is that in the state of Florida, it's illegal. Awesome.
Speechless. You know, I'm just speechless.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I can understand why. I mean, there are problems that come with merit-based, especially in the political environment.
You just give your friends some bonuses.
That's it.
I mean, I get that.
Right. Or you know, the people who whine the most, the people who annoy you the most, the people who, you know, become friend, you know, the friend and benefit system, right? That's very, very common, particularly in politics. And part of the reason for that is because politics doesn't have to demonstrate a bottom line end result, profit and loss, productivity metric. That's not how it works, right? If you're in a business, it's very easy. I mean, you can give bonuses to your friends, but then your business is going to suffer if they're not good. If you give bonuses to your friends in politics, well, you know, eh. I mean, what's the end consequence? You get reelected. I mean, right? There's no consequence. So in the political scheme particularly, in a government job particularly, you have to be cautious about merit-based systems, because merit-based becomes, you know, who do you know based. You know, it even came up in the meeting. Stephen Barry was saying one of the reasons that they had not had, I forget which one, but there was one of the schemes that they were kind of talking about, and he said, well, you know, one of the reasons we don't like that is because historically that would just mean that somebody tries to cozy up to the commissioners and make friends with the commissioners, and that's how they get these various benefits, which is, I mean, that's right. He's right about that. That's a good analysis. So, but still, that's a worry. It shouldn't be a disqualifier, because the basic idea of merit is good, and the end result of having no merit-based system is you get government system, government service. And listen, it's kind of weird. We have a lot of great employees. We have a lot of great people. But can we be honest? We also have the others. And they're very hard to remove in government. And as good as many, even most, of the local government employees are, how much better do you think they might be if there were merit pay involved, if there were rewards and incentives or penalties for doing poorly? I personally think that they would be fantastic, because the kind of person who tends to go into government is the kind of person who goes into it for security. A lot of, you know, sometimes they go into it for all the right reasons, but there's also an element of, hey, if I get this gig, I'm good for life, right? Which is not a great system for producing outstanding results. So in the end, nothing happened. I just thought it was an interesting conversation, and it was particularly discouraging to learn that it is illegal in the state of Florida in government, for reasons I understand, but it is illegal in the state of Florida to do the system that in a business makes the most sense. Dang it. 524 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
It's the 2025 Blue Angels Air Show at the beach. And you can hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio and tune in on Friday at 2. And then on Saturday starting at 11 to hear the narration from the News Radio team. Plus insights from former Blue Angels boss, Captain Greg McWhirter. This Blue Angels broadcast is brought to you by Dale's Marine Construction, Buggy Works, Marine Max, Patriotic Paving, and Gulf Coast Air Tours.
It's Red, White, and Blues Week, where the Blue Angels show is going to be at Pensacola Beach. Tomorrow and Saturday, you can listen to the live narration at 2 o'clock right here on News Radio 92.3.
Razzle dazzle!
1, 2, 3, 4!
1, 2, 3, 4!
The Great Brown Fox jumps over the Lazy Dog! Sir!
Tina says, don't talk to me like I am deaf and dumb. We've broken down and broken up so much that I am numb. Talk about, don't shout about the people we've become. There's a little girl who's crying over here. Michael says, don't shout at me like I was born a
fool. How many times has Cowboy Bob played vinyl? It seems like every year.
Oh, I know.
But, I mean, they're a great band.
They're great.
They really are. 527 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Of course, the air show, as you hear. Today you have the 2 o'clock, only the Blue Angels fly as a practice round. Then tomorrow you have the full dress rehearsal starting at 10, going to the Blues finish at 3. And then on Saturday, same thing, except it's the actual air show. And I will be out at the beach with Greg McWhirter from noon to 2. You can listen on News Radio 92.3 or on the app. If you want to get the News Radio Pensacola app, and then from 2 to 3, we carry the Blues with their music and their narrator, and it's a good time. It's a good time.
Bring your suntan lotion.
Bring your lotion. Bring your hats, you know. Bring your water.
Be prepared. Stay hydrated.
If you've never, oh, my God, can you imagine somebody who's never been to the beach show? You will love it, and right. There are parts that are difficult.
Yes,
it is
very.
A long, hot day. Word of advice, if you're going to drink, don't drink early.
True.
I mean, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, okay? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning.
Good morning, David.
How are you today, Andrew?
Well, I am fine, sir.
It is great to see both of you here in this studio
You're
today.
Killing me.
A new CDC report finds that 1 in 3 U.S. teenagers now has pre-diabetes, a warning sign for future health risks. Doctors say rising blood sugar levels in teens are tied to a poor diet and inactivity. They are urging families to focus on healthier food choices and being more physical.
Just in time for the type 1 diabetes Barbie. Did you see this?
Is that real?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, no,
it's
that's 100% real.
No, it's not.
There is,
no, seriously.
Well, it's not type 2. It's not late onset based on behavior and diet. It's type 1. It's inherited.
And they have like a little toy insulin needle?
Exactly. She comes with a little monitor and an arm patch and everything.
My
that's
goodness.
Exactly right. It's,
okay.
It's, you know, visibility for type 1 diabetes Barbie. Yep, that's exactly right.
Well, very interesting. All right. President Trump's nominee to lead NOAA says the deadly flooding in Texas is a wake-up call for better forecasting. Neil Jacobs is telling senators that if he's confirmed, he plans to prioritize staffing at National Weather Service offices. And a Manhattan judge has now cleared the way for a mother to sue TikTok and Instagram after her son died while subway surfing. Norman Nazario says the platform promoted the deadly trend that led to 15-year-old Zachary's death. He died in New York a couple of years ago when it was. I remember actually when that news story came out.
How would the subway platform encourage this?
No. TikTok. It was the TikTok.
Oh,
trend.
She's suing social TikTok. Media for right. encouraging this. All right. Well, I'd want to hear more. I mean, you know, because if you promote and persuade, I actually believe people should be accountable for the things they encourage. You know, I don't. This doesn't sound like a crazy lawsuit to me. Some things sound like crazy lawsuits. This doesn't sound like a crazy lawsuit. But the flip side of that is, you know, of course, you don't want to have these social media companies. You don't want them restricting speech, but you also recognize that they have tremendous power to influence people's beliefs and behavior. That's a tension, right? Because you want them to not be restricting what people say, but you want them to be restricting what people say. It's definitely a catch-22.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump is calling out a bill that would unmask ICE agents.
President Trump slamming Democratic lawmakers for introducing a bill that would require ICE agents to not wear masks and have legible IDs like their names on their uniforms while on the job. Trump saying those lawmakers must hate our country.
That's Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. A vigil was held in Central Texas to remember at least 120 people who died and around 170 still missing after the flash floods over the weekend.
They packed the local football stadium at the local high school with a prayer vigil. They called it the Kirk County Blessing. The volunteers and staff working to bring victims home total more than 2,000 in this area, just in this county alone. They include searchers with Texar, a Texas search and rescue, the Cajun Navy as well.
That's Fox's Mike Tobin in Kerrville, Texas. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 78 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Well, all hands are going to be on deck at Pensacola Beach for the Red, White, and Blues Air Show. Of course, performances start today at the beach. This year, there's a new 250-yard vessel exclusion zone on the beach's sound side, providing access for first responders.
We don't have to use it, but we're there in case we need it.
Now, that is Mike Burns, Santa Rosa Island Authority Executive Director, and officials say there will be 4 crewed ambulances on site on the beach. Doctors will be present at a medical tent this year. Officials say there's going to be more of an effort to treat people on site when possible. They're trying to cut down on how many people have to be taken to the hospital for issues like heat stroke or dehydration. The sheriff's office says that at least 80 deputies will be on hand across the island as well throughout the air show. Again, performances do start today. The Blues fly at 2 p.m. Tomorrow will be the full dress rehearsal, and then the big show is Saturday. And estimates are there could be more than 200,000 people on hand at the beach for that. Plaintiffs have now dropped their challenge to a Florida law requiring age verification for access to pornographic websites. That follows a Supreme Court ruling that upheld a similar Texas law. U.S. District Judge Mark Walker closed the lawsuit filed by the Free Speech Coalition and others. However, the dismissal does not impact a separate lawsuit regarding restrictions on social media accounts for kids under 16. Walker had previously blocked that on First Amendment grounds. The state is appealing that decision. A near miss with a deer ended with a Jeep and a 20-foot culvert earlier this week. Officials say a woman was driving on Pine Barren Road. That was just south of Bratt Road about 10 o'clock on Tuesday night when a deer ran out in front of her. The woman swerved to miss the animal and stopped the Jeep on the side of the road in some high grass when she and her passengers got out. The Jeep apparently then plunged into a 20-foot culvert. When the Jeep crashed, first responders were automatically notified. They say when they arrived, the woman and passengers were unharmed and standing at the top of that culvert. Well, today marks a somber anniversary in the Panhandle. It was 20 years ago today that Hurricane Dennis made landfall as a Category 3 on Navarre Beach. The National Weather Service says there were no direct deaths, but 2 people in Escambia County died of carbon monoxide poisoning due to improper use of generators. Pensacola recorded over 7.5 inches of rain in that storm. Navarre recorded a wind gust of 105 miles an hour. The storm surge in Navarre Beach was almost 6.5 feet. Well, some lawmakers will get to see the conditions of alligator Alcatraz for themselves. The Florida Division of Emergency Management sent an invitation yesterday to state legislators and members of Congress. They were invited to tour the immigration detention facility in the Everglades this coming Saturday. Some Democrat Congress members say that a sanitized tour is not true oversight. They said that they're expecting ICE and the Division of Emergency Management to paper over the treatment of detained people with a limited scrubbed visit and rehearsed answers. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. And it is 78 degrees. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Friday, 40% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping our nice pattern into the weekend with a 40% chance of rain on Saturday, high near 90 degrees and a low near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 78 degrees right now. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.
Every Subaru at Anderson Subaru is built with quality parts and precision engineering, so you can count on your Subaru to be with you for the long road ahead. And you can count on a great rate from Anderson Subaru to help you get there. With 0% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Solterra models, with 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Outback models, or 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Crosstrek models, and 3.9% APR for 48 months on 2025 Forester models. 0%, 1.9%, 2.9%, and 3.9%. Combined with legendary reliability and longevity, there's even more reason to love a Subaru. From Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Looking for a local shop that carries Michelin tires that you can trust? In Pensacola, that place is Tire Trust. Downtown on the corner of Gregory and Balin, Tire Trust has been taking care of people in Pensacola for over 23 years. Featuring the Michelin line, Tire Trust prides themselves on service you can trust. Tire Trust is more than a tire store. They're a full-service shop taking care of all your automotive needs. For service you can trust and Michelin tires, put your trust in Tire Trust.
Captain Eric here with Gulf Coast Air Tours. Just because the Blue Angels only fly for one day doesn't mean the magic of flight is gone until next time. Keep the magic alive by taking a flight with Gulf Coast Air Tours, Pensacola's only authorized air tour operation, and see the beach the way the Blue Angels do. Why not grab the kids for a personal 30-minute shark patrol or keep another kind of magic alive and pull that someone special close and sip champagne during a romantic sunset tour? Check out GulfCoastAirTours.com and schedule your flight today. That's GulfCoastAirTours.com.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Since August, city residents are, of all the users that had transactions in parking downtown, city residents are 14% of that. 86% of the people that, of the customer that makes a transaction, 86% of those customers do not live in the city.
Yeah, very interesting set of information we got from Mayor D.C. Reeves about downtown parking now a year into the enhancements, changes, additions, whatever you want to call them. And in this case, you know, only one in six users of the downtown parking, when you count by percentage of customers, is actually resident of the city. 5/6 are residents of the county. We talked about that yesterday with Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So Okay, 1 in 6 people who pay for downtown parking actually live in the city, 5 in 6, or depending on how you slice it, as you pointed out, by revenue share or by total number of transactions or whatever, somewhere between a 16 and 25%, a quarter and a sixth of the people are in the city, which means that the vast majority of people who are parking downtown and paying come from either Santa Rosa, Gulf Breeze, or the rest of the county in Escambia, or from out of town. And the idea was that, look, if you're going to pay for infrastructure of whatever type, like a future expansion in parking, a parking garage, or any of the services that come with parking downtown, it only makes sense to have a use fee that is paid for by the people who are not already paying the increased taxes for living in the city. Why burden the taxpayers who aren't using it instead of burdening for through use tax or use fee the people who don't pay that and are using it from outside of the city? Okay, so far so good. We're in agreement, right? I've said all the same things you said, right?
Yeah, they might have said it better.
Okay. Now, here's the part where you're probably going to be surprised. This struck me as eminently fair. As the guy who has kicked and screamed every step of the way about getting rid of free parking. Of course, I will still go to the free parking. There is abundant free parking. I will always go to it. I hate paying for parking. I have done it one time yet ever in downtown Pensacola because I had to be near the DMV to, you know, whatever, to take care of my car. It makes sense that the burden share should fall on the people using it, and the people who come from outside the city don't already pay the higher taxes living in the city. It's fair to charge parking. And in fact, it's fair to charge regular fees for out of city residents and charge a reduced rate 50% if you have a permit inside the city. That makes sense to me. I'm not on your side, but I'm on your side. It's the farthest I've ever come to agreeing with you about this.
I just saw a pig fly by my house in Center Beach. But listen, you know what I'm going to say next to the free parking thing, because I always like to actually hone in the real argument. It gets generalized into everything's paid. And you know, you've heard me say it 100 times. The vast majority of the parking that we possess, the city possesses, is free.
Right.
320 spaces at Commandentia behind the Holiday Inn.
Right.
Spring Street, City Hall, all of that. So the real discussion isn't free versus not free, which is what I am addressed with many times. And I know that's not what you were saying. But in the public, it's like there's this black and white, like everything is free or everything is paid. Up by Falanza on Wright Street, all tons of free parking. So, yes, what we're really talking about is, do you want to walk 2 blocks, 1 to 2 blocks for free, or do you want to pay to park right in front of the restaurant? That is what we're really talking about. We're not talking about the battle of free versus paid. It's the convenience of free versus paid.
Right. And also just the philosophical look, I had an entitlement. I had a thing that I enjoyed and took for granted. And as a non-city resident, how am I entitled to free parking? I mean, that's, I actually had to ask myself that question, like, dang it.
and listen, if there was a protest, I have not seen any community revolt over bed tax, right?
Right.
Understandable. We all love bed tax, and cities implement bed taxes, tourism taxes, liquor taxes on downtown areas. There's all sorts of mechanisms where the defense of them is that, hey, this isn't coming from you guys. As a matter of fact, hasn't Governor DeSantis, when he's talked about sales tax, saying that only Canadians pay it.
right.
Defense.
Yeah, right.
That's a mechanism to increase revenues to say, but we're not protesting any of those. And all I would say is, if you look at our data, I would argue we are at a minimum as efficient to be recouping dollars from people who do not pay city tax as any of those other mechanisms are. That's my point. So if we're going to protest this and the ratio of this and how it treats city residents, then we should also be protesting bed tax. And I'm not suggesting we do. I just mean it's under the same argument. And that's the point we were trying to make yesterday.
And there's another way to think about it, which, again, works very much against my historical position. But, you know, fine, whatever. I can revise. Kicking and screaming. But it's, you know, if paying for paid parking is the price tag of me having access to the city services that are by and large provided by other people paying their tax burden, I mean, a small price to pay, you know? I mean, it's a pretty minor price tag to pay.
And And if I'm not, you don't live in the city, you're not paying $4.2 million.
Right, exactly. Right. That's it. Exactly. Mr. Mayor, one thing I did want to ask about, you said yesterday, and I thought it was quite good that you said that there are several versions of permits slash passes coming. One for city residents that they'd be able to get half price, basically 50 cents an hour instead of $1 an hour and no transaction fee. Another one for city seniors, probably in the $10 to $15 per month rate, where they'd be able to park anywhere they want unlimited. And then another one for non-residents, people like me, that's coming. My question on the non-residents, I know you did not give any details, but I'm asking anyway.
Yeah.
Is the plan for that to be a monthly fee, an annual fee, plus a discounted per use fee, or just a unlimited, or is there going to be a bunch of tiers? Like, what is the plan for the non-resident of the city permit?
I could tell you without finality, I can tell you the direction we're going to go for the non-city residents is it'll likely be some scenario. We'll probably split it day and night for hospitality workers, for example, because you've made this point before, Andrew, that I think is very important, is the whole idea of charging a higher rate for parking was to increase availability. Remember,
right,
that was the number one complaint was,
right,
I can't find a space. And when can you not find them on Friday night when it's free? So that was our problem, as we were log jammed with so many free parking spaces with nobody churning at all. So we have to have a delicate balance of, we can't just make permits $1 a month and,
right,
and give them to everybody and make it 24 hours a day, because we're just going to fall right back in the same trap that,
right,
we had before with a lack of availability. So we went to the dollar an hour, and what we're going to probably do for non-city residents is going to be we'll probably split it day and night, or you could do both, I guess, but we'll probably look at you getting two zones, for example. You know, so maybe, hey, in front of my work or in front of the restaurant I always go to, you get zone 14 and zone 86, and those two zones, you can park there during day, during night, wherever your permit is valid, and you can park there for free. It would be a monthly fee, and then you wouldn't pay in addition to that. You would pay X dollars a month, and then you can park in these zones. Now, remember, those are going to be finite. We can't sell 1,000 of them,
right,
in zone 14 because there isn't enough spaces. So that's some of the dance we're doing right now is it will be a first come first serve type of thing. City residents will get priority, but there will be plenty available. And we may say, hey, sorry, Andrew, zone 14 is full, but zone 16.
Oh, I love zone 14.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be something like that. So there will absolutely this fall be non-city permit options. Look, we understand that people live in the county and work in the city, and that's important for our economy. We know that people live in the county or they live in Gulf Breeze and they come support our businesses. We totally understand that. We are not dismissing non-city residents as not important to our economy. We know that. So we do want to make it easier. But what we have found out over a year of time is that truly our issue isn't cost. I do not get a lot of emails about saying, oh my gosh, it was 50 cents, it's now a dollar, I can't believe it. I don't get a lot of that. People might start with that complaint, but it really ends up in technology, it ends up in confusion. It's those types of things that we're trying to bridge the gap on. It's not the 50 cents versus a dollar. I have not gotten very many complaints about that.
Yeah, I mean, $1 an hour is certainly very reasonable. Or in weird people like Andrew McKay, who are just like philosophically hate to have to pay for parking, which is its own special problem. Let's switch gears a little bit, because a lot of things going on. I very much appreciated the comments about the Chappie James Memorial Foundation. And as I understand it, the short version is you want to work with them. You want to get an agreement that works for everybody, that is legal, and that produces the end result and doesn't, you know, violate any principles of law or ethics because of particularly TDT money. And that's a going forward. We want to make this work. We just have to get there. Right. That's basically it.
Yep. Very short version is we were so far away from meeting all the parts of the existing agreement, there was no reason to revise or extend. I think we just need to
start
do a
over.
Refresh.
Yeah.
And we got to get out of this confusion of where the money comes from and what those stipulations are. I mean, so we're just taking a step back, and we were just in conversation with them yesterday morning. So we continue to be in conversation with them. We want to be helpful, but it's not going to be in the current form of that previously enacted agreement.
Main Street, I haven't driven it, is closed now. The intersection at Joe Paddy's, that area is restricted because of work on, or is not yet implemented?
No, it is. Yeah, as of yesterday, A to C on Main Street. So Government Street is now your detour around.
Cool. But I mean, you know, one person texted and said, "Well, Andrew, if you don't have any, you know, road closures, it means your city is either not doing the proper repairs or not growing and doing the appropriate upgrades, and either of those is bad." I'm like, "Well, yeah, that's true. I guess you can't really argue with that."
I love Joe Patty's as much as the next person, and by the way, I drive that road about 6 times a day. So
not anymore. You know, don't.
If anybody wants it done quickly, if anybody wants it done quickly, it's me.
2 months,
and so we're gonna get it done as fast as we can. But 1,600 positive outcomes in stormwater for houses in our city is well worth the minor inconvenience.
Oh yeah, and I mean that's a major area for that. 2 months is about the expected duration. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So okay. 8 to 10 weeks area.
Got it. God, we have so much stuff to talk about. The Bay Center meeting is tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow or Thursday morning. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Looking forward to it. It's the desired outcome for me is let's start moving forward with a district vision plan that the city will fund. But I want to make sure everybody's on the same page, gets what they want out of it, gets the deliverables they want. So I know there's some other items on the agenda that the county has put on, but that was the main one that I had requested was to let's hear from this firm out of Nashville that's worked in Pensacola before. And let's look at what happens with traffic. Should it be an ice rink or a conference center? We don't have a study that's in the works that is looking at any of that right now. The only study that's going to happen right now is what level of intensity of renovation do we want to do to the existing Bay Center? So these can work in tandem together and be done at the same time sometime near the end of the year.
Where are we at on Baptist?
Yeah, good question. Obviously we met – we shared all of our information, all of our expertise with exactly what was going on at Baptist. We're entering, I believe, our fifth month of this conversation with the county. We're just really waiting on the $2 million commitment and what the county decides to do or not do or what part that they want to do. So, you know, I think certainly Commissioner May has been an advocate of trying to get this going. I saw that they have not added it to the agenda as we had expected they would in July, which is only going to prolong it another month. And so we'll see what happens. But we can't wait forever. We've got to close on the property. We've got other things to do. And certainly, I'm respectfully asking that the county get that going.
And just a note, because we're just about totally out of time, is you're still working on child care solutions, and as I understand it, your basic goal is finding a way to help increase the pay, which will incentivize more people to come in and provide supply, help people become smarter about how they run their businesses so they can be profitable in providing daycare, and maybe the city will contribute to all of this by helping with a location, something to provide capacity of the infrastructure space. Is that basically your plan right now?
That's our plan. We meet this morning to start honing exactly what those tactics are. And that is what my proposed plan to our CRA board will be in terms of the Children's Trust funding.
Okay. And the theory here being that a city that doesn't have enough daycare is going to have struggles with its economy. Let's see if we can't help figure that out the way some others have. So, and I appreciate that. I think that's, tackling a solution that's you weren't elected to solve, but hey, it's a problem, and let's see if we can work on it. We always like to end with a lightning round of quick questions. First question is, when you lock your door at your house or on your car, do you double check to make sure it's locked? Are you a lock rechecker of any sort?
For people listening out there know where I live, yes. Inconsistent, I would say, Andrew.
Okay. Probably do you double click the fob? Do you wait for the chirp afterwards? Like you're walking away and did I beep, beep, you do it? Do you do that a second time ever?
It depends on if I'm late for the meeting or not.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Do you wear earbuds? And if so, do you wear them around other people and, or do you think it's rude for other people to wear them when they're talking to you?
Rarely do I do that. I feel like I'm an outlier when I go to like New York or Chicago or Miami, like everybody's wearing them on the sidewalk. But I rarely wear them unless I'm on an airplane or I'm at the gym.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, when you go to New York, you're representing little old backwater, Florida, and they don't even have earbuds in Florida, right? So that's why.
They don't talk to each other up there. You know that.
Right. Right. The other side of that equation. Last one. This is a hard one. I'm going to put you on the spot. All Buc-ee's, right. Yay or nay?
Buc-ee's?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Buc-ee's. Is there some type of revolt happening?
I just don't like the chaos and the high prices, but that's me. I'm I guess, antisocial or something.
Well, so then I guess you don't like Disney World or something either, right?
Well, I try to go on the off days. I don't like the crowd. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Well, that'd be good. Maybe they'll have a blog like with Disney World. There'll be a calendar for you for Bucky, you know, that you can go Tuesday.
Peak and off-peak days.
5 to 6 a.m. And shorten the lines. Yeah.
That's right. Mayor D.C. Rios, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, thanks.
I don't think I like the tone of what he was saying at the end right there. Seemed to be implying that there was something wrong with me that I wanted to go on the off-peak Bucky days or Bucky hours. So, okay. Anyway, we do have a good time. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide, you know, what to do, is now the time? Should you wait? Did you already wait too long? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, great resource. She sells, you know, her team sells 165 homes last year, 175 the year before that. One of the things that is kind of her way of operating is if she ever has to do something for the first time, like I know one time, you know, they were called upon to do a divorce sale, which if you think about it, is kind of unfortunately too common. But also, I mean, when it happens, two people who cannot get along obviously are not going to easily get along about how to sell their home. And so how do you navigate that situation, especially when they're both your client? You know what I mean? Right? Like, that's because they both own the home. So she did it, or her team did it, and then they went and got training so they could do it really well and learned, okay, what are the particulars of how to do this effectively? And then now, if that's a need, they know exactly how to do that, the best practices for doing that. And that's true across the board in all kinds of different situations is, you know, you try it one time, you learn, and then you try to learn how to do it better. Because she just wants to give everybody the best possible service, the best possible outcome available. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Gun Show this weekend in Crestview, Florida. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. It's a brand new event located at 410 West James Lee Boulevard, Crestview, Florida. Saturday, 9 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 3. Admission just $10 a person. Kids under 14 are free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, go to usagunshowsfl.com. Hurricane season is here. It's time to make sure your Generac generator is in tip-top shape. Call White Sands Electric today to schedule maintenance of your generator. With 5 certified Generac technicians on staff, they will make sure your generator is ready when you need it. Need a new unit or a replacement? Remember, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you never spend a dime until your generator is on your property. White Sands Electric is a full-service electrical contractor. Call 850-433-6080 for all your electrical needs.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I could give you my word as a Spaniard.
No good. I've known too many Spaniards.
.558 News Radio. I'm just thinking through all the lines in that scene. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Catholic Diocese of San Bernardino now telling their parishioners they can skip Sunday Mass if they're afraid of immigration raids. Bishop Alberto Rojas says the fear of ICE activity is a serious enough reason to miss church, citing the church doctrine that allows exceptions for grave concerns.
Yeah, dispensation, right? So, interesting.
There is a CDC report out finding that one in three U.S. teenagers has pre-diabetes, a warning sign for future health risks. Doctors say rising blood sugar levels in teens are tied to a poor diet and inactivity. They're urging families to eat healthier and for teens to get more physical activity.
Throw out the phone. What is that what you said?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I thought that's what you said. You might have phrased it a little bit. You might have spelled it differently, but I think what you actually said was throw out the phone.
Yeah, no, that's about right.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Just, that's what they're just saying. Checking to see if I understood you properly. Thanks so much, David. Oh, my goodness. Oh, hey, we're going to have a really interesting conversation with Wes Moreno next hour because the meeting today, so much interesting stuff on the agenda.